Hello everybody, this is Derek Arden again and welcome. I want to talk to you today about car negotiations. In 2013 I did a video on YouTube on car negotiations, and to date that's had 266,000 hits and 1,600 likes. So if you don't quite get what you want today, but you will, then have a look at that as well. So when you go to negotiate a car, you need to understand that you're being manipulated from the moment that you walk into the car showroom. I'm just going to go through the overview of it, and then I'll go through the manipulations and the tactics and the NLP and the psychology that's being used on you by the best car salespeople. The not so good ones don't quite get it, but I'll let you into some secrets there. So number one, make sure you do your research and your preparation. Know what car you want before you go in there. Look in what car, look in the magazines, look online, see what the price should be, what the range of pricing is for that car. If in a car sales situation, when someone's selling a car to you, it's a process. It's a 36-step process that they go through virtually worldwide, and they are not allowed to deviate from the process for the simple reason the process works better if they use each part of the process, which I'll explain. Number three is remember to haggle. Keep saying no when they come up with the price, and then walk out, and they will probably use the Columbo close on you. And I'll explain what the Columbo close is in a minute. You can probably guess. So the car selling process goes like this. You drive in to the car showroom, but if you're driving in to a luxury car showroom like the Porsche garage in Bournemouth, the receptionist is taking your number plate as you drive in, looking at which car salesman normally deals with you, and by the time you park your car, the salesperson will be there. Oh, nice to see you again, Tony. What a coincidence bumping into you. I think you've just brought your car in for a service. How's it going, etc., etc. You go, wow, that's a coincidence. But of course it's not, because they've read your number plate, looked it up on the computer, looked up your name, and sent Paul, the car salesperson, out to meet you. And in fact, the Porsche garage in Ferndale in Bournemouth moved its drive-in, changed its wall where you drive in, so that the receptionist could clearly see the number plate without moving. It cost £20,000. And I interviewed the guy that ran Porsche in Bournemouth, and he told me all these secrets. And I said to him on that one, I don't believe you did that. And he said, I did. I'm serious. We sell 200 Porsches at 150,000 each year. And this is how we do it, with total and utter customer service. So you walk in, and the whole game is all about rapport, liking, etc. In a Lexus garage, you're allowed to walk around for 2 minutes before someone approach you. They have to use Magic FM radio in the showroom, just gently, because in the socio-economic group of people that buy Lexuses, that's the music which hits the hot spots the most. And we've talked also, haven't we, about music being an anchor, a positive anchor. So it will be that good music. Then the salesperson comes up to you. Now, the top man, this is the man that was running Porsche, but I bought a car off him when he was running the Volkswagen dealership in Slyfield in Guildford. And I said to him, look, will you stop all this technique in me? I know about it. I've written a book. I'll give you a copy of my book if you like. And he said to me after I bought the car off him, he said, Derek, you didn't know half the things that I did to you, and I'm going to share those with you. And then when he moved to Porsche in Bournemouth, he got promotion. I went down and had a coffee with him, and he went through the routine again. It was a bit more upmarket in a Porsche garage. There was more tricks and techniques than there was in a Volkswagen garage. So he said, Derek, the first thing I'd say to you and your wife is tea, coffee or water. I won't ask you if you like one, because I don't want to be turned down. And whoever answers is the decision maker, the person I'm selling to. So that's the first thing I know. So would you like a coffee? No, it's tea, coffee or water. which you have to reply to, and you probably would answer and say yes, because you wouldn't want to agree. So now I've got that. You've told me what car you want. I ask you what car you drive. I remark about wonderful cars, beautiful cars, those Ford Cortinas 1970 or whatever they are that you're going to trade in. And he's listening to everything you say and asking questions. He says, right, we go out on a test drive. So he gets the car out of the showroom or whatever, and he parks it, turns the engine off, moves the mirror inside, and pushes the seat right back. He said to me, I bet you didn't notice that when you test drove it. I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, that's a deliberate ploy, so that when you get in the car, you have to adjust the seat, you have to adjust the wing mirror. Already, you've personalised that car to your requirements. I went, wow, do you really do that? Yep, he said, I do. And then when we're out on the test drive, when you're turning right at a difficult junction, that's when I ask you the personal questions, and you're going to tell me the truth, because that's going to come out of your unconscious mind. She said, do you remember I asked you what football team you supported when we turned right at the junction coming out of Guildford? I said, yeah. And you asked me about the match and all sorts of things. And then when Sally took over the driving, you asked her what's important to her about a car. Is it the... is it the look? Is it the feel? Is it the comfort? Is it the power steering? The more of the things that to women find more important on cars than the men do, etc. So then he said, did you notice when we returned into the garage, just as you had that difficult maneuver to park it, you didn't want to smash my car up, I then asked you the closing questions about did you like the car, getting to say loads and loads of yeses about the car. Then we came in, gave you another cup of our free coffee. We didn't talk about free coffee earlier. Well, we did, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Of course, that's reciprocity under the work of Robert Cialdini. And then he went out to look at my car. Lovely. Came back and said, lovely car. Fantastic, couple of scratches on it, but that's not really an issue. I'm sure we can work out a deal from that. And to be honest, we bought it because it was a little, it's a small car which we were buying for our son for a little run around because he lives down in Bournemouth. And then, of course, I said, oh, I knew what you were doing to me. And that's when he invited me back the next week to go through his flip charts for his training session that he does every Monday morning with the sales force for an hour. And he said, you know, Derek, the real problem is I can't get all of them to do this all the time, because if they think it's a bit boring. Once they deviate from the process breaks down. And he said it's in almost all car dealerships all around the world, this process, and it uses almost all of the six traits that Robert Cialdini talks about in Influence, Science and Practice. Then I said, what do you do if you can't close the sale at that point? Well, he says, I expect all my people to close the sale, because if you turn up in a car showroom, actually you've decided to buy a car anyway, because you wouldn't go in. Because no one really likes going into a car showroom and being manipulated and sold out and all that. So he said, you're 80% likely to buy it before you even come in. So we've got to have done something wrong not to have closed the sale. But he said, if you do walk out, we use the Columbo close on you. I said, okay, well, I can sort of think about what the Columbo close is. You know, I talk about Lieutenant Columbo, Peter Falk in my situations. He says, well, yeah, Derek, I'll give you an example. It goes like this. Just as you get to the revolving doors to walk out, we go, oh, Derek, can't believe how stupid I am. I had a few beers last night or whatever, and I'm not thinking straight. I think we had an email down this morning which gave us the opportunity to give you an extra discount off that model. Come back. Sit down for a minute, have another coffee while I just check my emails. I'm really sorry about that. I can't believe how stupid I was there. So I said to Neil, this is the guy's name, I said to Neil, don't really do that. And he looked at me like I was stupid. He said, yeah, of course we do. Our job's to sell cars. We're going to sell cars. Therefore, if someone says no, we have to use a tactic on them to get them to say yes and give them another discount. I mean, it's a bit like the sales manager that doesn't exist. You know, you ask for it, you've got to give me another £100 off to close the sale. And he says, well, I have to talk to the sales manager about that. But because I like you so much, Liam, and we got on so well, and you support Leeds United up in Yorkshire, and you go to Headingley and watch the cricket, because I love the cricket at Headingley. I've been to Headingley a few times. Fabulous place to watch the cricket, etc., etc. Connecting, building the rapport, the liking bit. I'll see what I can do. But the sales manager's in a really bad mood today, and I might lose my job over trying to get you a discount on this. He said, no discounts today, but take a seat, have another cup of coffee while you're waiting, and I'll see what I can do. Now, the trick here is he leaves it for quite a long time, because if you've gone through this process, which has taken up to 2 hours, they make 2 hours for a test drive, generally, in an expensive garage. Are you wanting to go through this process all over again? You're not, are you? So actually the closing tactic usually works. So after about 15 minutes, you come back. Well, it was a nightmare. He gave me a real kicking on this, but as it's you, I've got the £100 off. And he doesn't say at that point, do you want to buy the car? He says, here's the paperwork. Sign here. So there's no chance of you changing. I've drawn up the contract, so here's the paperwork, Liam. Just sign here and we can go ahead of it. Now, there's a few other things in this process that will muddle the price up and make it easier to sell you the car. The value of the trade-in, whether you have HP, or in the UK now, 90% of cars are sold on a personal contract, which means included in that is you pay a deposit and they guarantee to buy the car back from you in 3 years' time at a certain price. And then they can say, well, it'll only cost you £350 a month and you can drive out tomorrow in a brand new BMW or Mercedes or whatever car you want. Now, that helps sell cars for you. It's probably a bad deal, because you won't be able to work out what it's costing you, but you will be able to work out it's £350 a month. And you know what I mean by that, because I'm a finance guy. What it's costing you in interest rates, what the underwritten cost of the buyback on the car is in 3 years' time, the balloon payment that you might have to make, etc., etc. And of course, the more you can muddle the price up with extras and variables like that, that people only see £350. Rather than what we really want to do is break it down into the elements of cost that we all have. I've actually had my two Lexuses for 10 years, and I haven't got them there. This is Lexus in Bournemouth that I was showing you. Liam, can you put your thumb up if you can see my screen? Yep, you can never tell at this end. And that's Porsche, and you can see just there where they knock the wall down. So you have to drive in there to go round here to the service department. So the receptionist who is here, who will have a cup of your tea or your coffee ready for you as you walk into the showroom to look at this new 911 Carrera that's there, all ready for you. So yeah, you'll be manipulated all the time, and we like being manipulated in a nice way, don't we, if we actually want to buy a Porsche. I didn't buy a Porsche. He gave me a Porsche mug and I walked out, but he did offer me a test drive in it, but I thought, I'm being manipulated here. I've always wanted a Porsche, and the best Porsche I ever got was when my secretary in Barclays bought me a miniature Porsche as a birthday present, and I thought, okay, I've cracked that goal. That's good. So guys, it's a huge process. It starts as you drive in and it finishes when they've closed the sale. You need to do your research, you need to prepare, you need to understand the process. I've tried to beat the process several times and failed miserably. The one thing I did do when I bought my Lexus sports car was I walked out. The guy followed me to my car, still trying to close me. It's a lovely car. You sure you don't want it? And I said, give me your business card and I'll call you in the morning. And I sent him an email at 10 o'clock at night, which said, Paul, if you reduce the price by £1,000, and he said he was at his bottom line, if you can reduce it by £1,000, let me know in the morning and I'll give you a check for the deposit. What I was doing there was I was reversing the sales process. He'd been selling to me. Suddenly I'm selling to him, aren't I? I'm saying for £20,000, give me a call in the morning and by 10:30, because I'm going abroad, etc. I made some little cock and bull story up about that. I'm going abroad, so ring me by 10:30, giving him the time deadline. He rang me at 10:25. He said, Derek, I've got you the £500 off. I said, Paul, you weren't listening. I said, 1,000. He said, oh, yeah, but you were only joking, Derek. You know, we support the same team and we like each other a lot. We get on really well. I've got the £500, so give me a card. I said, Paul, you weren't listening. I said, £1,000. He said, I'll tell you what, £750. Do you know what I did? I said, yes. I should have said no, shouldn't I? I had him on the run, but sometimes they get you. He said, I'll throw in a couple of mats as well. They're worth £100 each, those Lexus mats. I said, Paul, I can get those in Halfords for £4. Oh, they're £50, you know, or whatever. So off we went and I bought it. But I haven't changed it for 15 years. A, because I don't want to go through the process. B, I don't have much mileage in it. C, it does 14 to the gallon, which isn't very helpful these days. They sort of don't really go wrong. That's the thing. That's their brand, isn't it? So there you go. There you go. Guys. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Now, let's see what questions we have in the box. Well, lots and lots of things in the questions. Let me pick one or two out. Keith said the sound was going a bit. I didn't know that. Okay, I couldn't see that. Wherever there's success, there's a process, says Tim. Andrew said, which of these techniques and counter techniques apply only to cars? I think they apply in all sorts of situations, ladies and gentlemen. I think they're a bit blunter in a car showroom because there's one product. Certainly, some of the takeover negotiations that I was involved in on behalf of my
Sorry, Derek, you misread the question.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
Only to new cars.
Oh.
As opposed to used cars, because used car at the moment, and to me, you know, used car, you've got so many other, you know, first of all, you don't know exactly what you want. It's not the same as I want the brand new BMW, whatever it's. Do I want 2 years old or 3 years old, 20,000 miles? And so there's so many more factors. So do they, and also if it's a second hand, do they have the same people with the same, here's your coffee? I'm just wondering how much is different and how much is the same. And
okay, well, I think the simple answer to that is that in a luxury car showroom, they'll be doing more of this in a nicer way. In a middle-of-the-road car showroom, let's say a Volkswagen dealer, some of it, depending on the salesperson. And in an older car dealership, a few bits, because people that worked in the car industry will have learned this and will know about it. So yeah, but, you know, Andrew, it's back to knowing what you want here.
I mean, partly it depends on, I mean, for example, they may know they can drop a new car by 1,000, but with a second-hand car, or they may not be able to, and I may not know whether they actually can. So a couple of times I've tried to negotiate on a second-hand car, and I've just walked to where there's been no deal. They wouldn't come down £800. So obviously it wasn't in it for them, and then I regretted it, but...
in their profit margin... And we'll talk about some of this off of the recording. In their profit margin, as they've got the trading on your car, they got the finance deal, and they've got the profit on the new car, if it's a new car, and then they've got dealer discounts, which they get for selling so many of these cars a month, which are never in the price, where you don't even know what those dealer discounts are. So they can make up a cock and bull story there. So there's three issues. And with these personal contract plans, there's some other fat in it as well. And a smaller car dealership now they will point you to webuyanycar.com because they will not want to have the hassle of putting it into British car auctions, because it will get auctioned off anyway. And webuyanycar.com is owned by British Car Auctions. I don't know if you know that. So that's going to be the price. So I think it's horses for courses. But back to your original question, you really need to know what you want, because you're going to be upsold or downsold by, they'll ask you, what have you got in your budget? How much do you want to spend a month, etc. And so the more focused you can be, the more break it down. Well, just take another chat, questions in the chat box if you don't mind. Are these techniques unique to the car sales industry? Is it much different on the property market? These techniques are negotiating techniques. I'm only showing you, I'm only using the car because they're used in, it's easier just to break down. And these guys are really, really skilled at it, the good ones. It can be used on anything in any circumstances. It's certainly used wherever there's money, there's more tactics are used. I just bought a new book on sports negotiations yesterday. It came through on Amazon, and certainly in the football industry, the tennis industry, the golf industry, where there's a lot of money, the sponsorship deals, the rights deals, etc., are huge. And that's why footballers probably employ up to 9 advisors in different ways to help them get through the negotiation quagmire. Mark says, when the salesman splits the difference and offers you a reduction, you would definitely have got the 1,000 off. Yeah, I probably would have done. Who knows? You just don't know what the numbers are. In the end, sometimes you get worn down. Don't forget there's a negotiation tactic called bore and snore, used by the police in hostage negotiations, where actually you bore the people into submission, which is a tactic used in the car industry, because after 2 hours, are you really going to go through the whole thing again? You probably wanted that car. Kevin says, in the US, there is a demand for previously owned refurbished cars with a guarantee, and there seems to be a fixed price. Yeah, we have that market as well, Kevin. Listen, you just need to be aware of all these things. The most important thing is that you buy a car that you like, that's comfortable, that meets all your requirements, and you don't buy a car they've decided to sell you off the forecourt because they've told you it's a better car than the one that you wanted to buy. And you don't really want to believe anything they tell you. When I walked out of that Lexus showroom and the guy said to me, that's the only model we've got, the only model in that colour that you want, etc., I said, okay, well, give me your card. I'm walking away. If you can't do a better price than that, I'm off. And then I got my push bike out and I had a cycle round the back of the Lexus garage. It was in the summer that evening. And I counted 20 of these cars round the back. And I thought, well, you're clearly telling me fibs, telling me lies. So everything else you told me is probably not true. So we'll have a bit of a game here and see what the deal is. But of course, there comes a point, doesn't there, where you just want to get it over with and move on. And even then, what really hacks you off or hacks me off is the you think you've got them down to the walk away. They're pleading poverty. They're pleading getting the sack and all this. And they're still smiling as you drive out with a big grin on their face. So guys, thanks for listening. I'm going to turn the recording off now. If anyone was watching this on YouTube, please send me an email, like the video, etc., or just email me at action@derekarden.co.uk. Good luck with all your car negotiations. It covers every area of sales and negotiation skills. Make sure you get a good deal, and I wish you all good luck.